Good day, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Atlanta Podcast. It is officially fall. I might have said that last week, but it's actually fall. And of course, there are cars starting and people talking, and I'm going to try not to be distracted while I tell you that I am doing well and that this is one of two parts with the man known as English Nick. Now, I believe we've talked about length of episode in the past. Looks like we've been right at a little over an hour. Hour 15 is about good. This one's a full 2 hours, and I thought, hey, let's break it up into two parts. Give them a nice, snackable time at the gym, time in the car, whatever it is, one episode long. There is one man holding his hands up to another man saying, did you almost hit me in front of me? I can't tell if they're friends or if they're actually, he's still holding his hands up and can't tell if they're mad or not. I think he looks legit mad. Yeah, I think that guy's legit mad. So anyhow, English Nick is on and we cover a lot of ground. And he's a fascinating dude and he didn't know me at all other than Steve coming on, who also didn't know me and was kind enough to come on. So I don't want to say much else other than enjoy my chat. We chatted, pretty sure right here where I'm sitting, front porch of Alkaloid. So let's dive right in. Part one, English Nick.
Testing 1, 2, 1, 2. Hey, hey.
Fantastic. So listen, thanks for coming down, not knowing me at all.
Nice to be here. Steve Craig did this.
Right.
And
spoke super highly of me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or he didn't. He
and
just
then
said,
you reached out,
right,
and said, do you want to come do what Steve Craig did?
Right.
But not talk about Atlanta United or hockey or aeroplanes or Angel Flight. Did Steve get into that?
We mentioned Angel Flight.
It's an awesome thing.
We didn't talk much about the United. I have my own feelings about the United, which we can get into. Okay, I have my own feelings.
I have a feeling I know where you're going with that because I have some American friends who say the same thing.
Which is?
Or at least girlfriends of American.
Who say what?
They're such big fans of British Premiership teams, they can't just be into this team in their backyard.
No, it's worse. It's way worse. It's that it's all bullshit. It's all fake, new, hipster. It's the thing to do. Here's my fucking scarf. They knew shit about soccer.
They jumped on it.
3 months ago.
Yeah.
That's my theory. Now, I'm willing to be proven wrong.
All right.
I reached out to, there's a guy that's got a big podcast actually about it,
yeah,
and I reached out to
I'm
him.
Sure he does, because it's popular, right?
Well, there's like 20, you know, soccer podcasts, but I reached out to him and said, listen, I'm willing to be made wrong, like, yeah, I'll go and try to experience. So I'm a Falcons fan.
Yeah.
And how long have you been here?
21 years.
Okay.
So I'm a Falcons fan too.
Okay, so you're legit, okay? I get mad, okay, that people are bigger Bulldog fans than Falcons fans, right?
Well, college, correct me if I'm wrong, but college football in the South,
right,
for the longest time was the biggest thing in football, right?
Right.
Before the NFL.
Right. Well, and it still is in many
and
ways.
If they keep taking the knee, it may be that way
well,
again.
We're not even going to get into that either. Okay. Or maybe we will.
Well, I'm torn on that.
Well, we'll get into it.
Yeah. So, anyway, so soccer.
So I've been to many a Falcons game when we were not having a good season, mm-hmm, where the visiting team fans outnumbered us, and it pissed me off.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Many times.
Well, Atlanta's, it's a very fair weather sports team.
Right, but here's the
yay when they're winning, oh, F them when they're losing.
Right, and here's the other thing that people say is like, oh, well, we're a transient city, people come from somewhere else. And that's true, but if you're from, say, Chicago, right,
yeah,
and you've lived here as long as you or I have, 20 or 30 years, of course the Bears is always your team, but the Falcons are your team too. So
yeah,
you can't, anyway, I'm willing to be proven wrong in the United thing, but so far I'm not sold. I'm not sold.
I hear you.
You're wearing a United cap.
Yeah, because I went to my first game last week.
Okay.
So number one, the stadium's amazing. So as a Falcons fan, you're going to love that.
Well, I mean, it's a freaking billion-dollar Enormo Dome.
$1.3 billion, yeah.
Right.
And
did you grow up watching football? Is it required?
Here's the thing. Every American thinks that every British bloke,
right,
has his team. I grew up in the countryside in the southwest of England, a little village called Sturton. Sturton, if you're going to Google it. Beautiful landscape gardens in the middle of this village that are run by the National Trust, Stourhead. It was given to them 130 years ago. The guy who owns that land, his last name is Hoare, H-O-A-R-E. Great-grandfather Hoare had gone traveling around Europe in the 1800s, seen all this amazing architecture in Greece and stuff, and said, I want that in my backyard. So they built this landscape garden, so Stourhead. So anyway, I live in this tiny little place, more sheep than there are people, you know? So I never lived in a town like Manchester or even London where you got all those great teams, Everton's Liverpool, Tottenham, Arsenal, all that stuff, right? Chelsea. So I never, and I wasn't a sports nut. I was a farming kid who got into rock music. That's always been my love since I was in my teens, is rock and roll. Sports to me was, I never was a great football player, as in soccer player. I was shorter than everybody else. So I never really, and I have parents who weren't sports nuts. My mum would watch Wimbledon, and my dad would watch Formula One racing, but my dad never watched football.
What did your mom watch?
Wimbledon.
Oh, Wimbledon.
Tennis.
Okay.
So, still does to this day. God bless her. And so I was never a sports nut, you know? And then I came here when I was 28 years old. And everyone's like, who's your team? Who's your team? Well, when I was 12, I was in the Manchester United because my 16-year-old cousin was.
Right.
You know, and you get your bubblegum packs and collect the stickers.
Right.
You know, so Man United in the 70s, I got into it. But I never went to a live game, ever.
So what were the first records that you owned?
The first records I actually owned were, well, Def Leppard Pyromania was the first album I ever bought on cassette in 83.
Dude, that's one of my first cassettes.
Yeah.
How old are you?
I'm 59. But okay. I grew up in a house where there wasn't a record player. And I didn't have anything to play music on until I was 15 when I was given a radio cassette recorder. You remember those where you got the speaker one side, cassette the other, and your radio dial on the top?
Right.
Like a mini boombox.
Right.
I had a group of friends who were riding scooters because the Jam were big in the 80s. Love the Jam, love Paul Weller. So I had a group of friends who loved the Jam, and they're all mods. The mod thing came back in the 80s, 20 years after
right.
mods and rockers fighting on the beaches in the 60s.
Right.
I had a group of friends who were long-haired motorcycle riders. They were listening to Iron Maiden, Black Sabbath, Def Leppard, and then late a few years down the road, some younger ones who got me into Metallica.
Right.
So I liked both music, but I liked the motorcycles better because they were faster. And you could be scruffier, and I got to wear I was a real heavy metal fan between the ages of like 15 and 25.
Right. Well, we have to specify now, though, with metal, because they have branched, right?
The genres.
Right? Yeah. Like, there's sort of like the speed metal.
Well, there's always, yeah.
And then there's whatever came out of, like, you know, I can't even think off the top of my head, but like when you say heavy metal, I think original heavy metal.
Black Sabbath.
Iron Maiden.
Judas Priest.
Right? Like that's like, and then Metallica was like the first sort of modern,
Metallica,
air quotes,
were the leaders of the thrash metal movement.
Right.
Which, if you're around Lars Ulrich, you can't use the, whenever they would ask, he goes, you mean that word,
Right.
So
and Slayer, and that's just sort of the double bass thing is thrash,
yeah.
Right? Is that,
and the fast playing, the riffing,
right?
You know, and very often the lyrical content on thrash metal can be mystical, not like Led Zeppelin. I mean, Led Zeppelin sung about, you know, goblins and
right.
and hobbits and, you know, all that stuff,
right?
And Vikings,
droids,
Vikings invading, but. Metallica were the one thrash metal band who got clever with their lyrics. It wasn't, and for the first time, it was metal bands who weren't singing about tits and ass, you know?
Right.
You know, my first ever Metallica, my first ever gig, period, as far as not being a pub gig with punk bands, was Donington Monsters of Rock in England in 1985 at the Donington Racetrack, which is now Download Festival. And it happens in June now, and it's 4 days, and it's hundreds of bands, you know, everybody from Aerosmith and Slipknot to tiny little bands. So on this particular afternoon, August 16th, 1985, the opening band was a band called Magnum, who were like a sword and sorcery, you know, we're a medieval band, and we wear it on our sleeve, literally.
Right.
You know, swords on stage and stuff. And then Rat.
Okay.
Then Metallica, then Bon Jovi, then Marillion, who were a progressive band from England.
I remember Marillion.
Huge in England.
Only because a friend was super into them.
Yep.
And would draw their logo on his folder.
And the singer, Fish, had this crazy painted right. face.
Do you know what July the 13th, 1985 was?
No.
That was Live Aid.
Oh, okay.
I just happened
I was actually, I was literally making hay that day because I grew up on a farm and I got into farming after I left school at 16. And I was driving this shitty old International tractor, turning the hay. You know, when you turn it to dry it. And I had the radio on and Live Aid was live on BBC Radio 1.
That's amazing.
And I went home and watched it the rest of the night.
On MTV?
No, because we didn't have satellite television at that point.
What did you get? What was it shown on?
It was on, I think it was on the BBC.
Oh, okay.
You know, because you had BBC One, you had four channels growing up in England.
Right.
BBC One, Two, and Three.
Right.
And then you had your local commercial channel that showed commercials and had different news, and it was called ITV.
So Monsters of Rock was your first real
yes.
proper concert.
And my favorite band was already Metallica that day. I had ZZ Top were headlining because in 84 they put out the Eliminator album, so they were bigger than God at that point.
Right.
I mean, they flew that red car over the crowd strung from a helicopter before they came
and
on stage.
Went bananas.
Yeah. And I also thought I was going to die that night because I'd gotten down the front for that. And back those days, festivals didn't have the security lanes through the middle. And right. You were up against the stage.
Right.
The stage was here.
Right. People died, sadly, at some of them.
I was there when two Guns N' Roses fan died 3 years later in 88.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it was Iron Maiden headlining on the Paraslave tour.
Well, I don't want to skip, like, too far ahead because I want to learn about your life. But I got to say, for like those acts you just saw, I'm guessing you've maybe got to meet some of those guys like since?
Yes.
And what, and like...
Especially, well, out of those bands I mentioned on that day, I've met Metallica.
Okay.
Who at one point for 10 years of my life...
Were the biggest things.
I wanted to be James Hetfield. I idolized him.
Who didn't?
Well, the guys who liked the hair metal and...
No, I'm just saying that like I was sort of a typical suburban kid.
Yeah.
Right? So, and I'm only 5 years younger than you, but that's the era, right? So I wasn't like the metal kid, but when my friend said, oh, listen to this. So what was before, maybe Injustice for All? What was one on?
One was on Justice for All.
Okay, so that was the first sort of
hit. Master of Puppets, the album before that, is my number one album of all time.
Okay, so name the tracks on that one.
Battery.
Oh.
Master of Puppets.
Yeah, classic stuff, right.
Damage Incorporated.
Right. So somebody gave me that CD and
Welcome
said...
Welcome Home Sanitarium.
Right. So when one was being played on TV all the time, somebody said, oh, you got to listen to this older stuff.
Yeah. Well, because Metallica said they would never make videos, right?
Right.
And anything that did come out was a live thing. Also, bear in mind, in 1985, when I went to see Metallica, you didn't have MTV in England yet.
Right.
Regular radio didn't play those kind of bands.
Right.
And there was a two-hour rock show on Friday night. So the only way you got to hear or see the band was buy the magazine, buy the album, or listen to the two-hour Friday night rock show with Tommy Vance on BBC Radio 1.
Like what magazine? Like Kerrang?
Kerrang was the Bible. And when I see...
People that are a lot younger than us have no idea, by the way. Because A, magazines don't exist, and certainly fucking Circus and Kerrang don't exist anymore.
In England, it was, if you were into any music, you picked up the New Musical, the NME.
The NME,
New Musical Express.
Right.
Melody Maker. And they were like newspaper-style music magazines, like bigger. And then Kerrang was the metal Bible. Kerrang today, I follow him on Instagram. That Kerrang, on the cover this week, it's Weezer. So
it's come a long way, you're saying?
Kerrang covers everything now, as long as there's a guitar involved, it seems.
Got it.
So
I didn't know they were still
around.
But
that was the Bible. So going to see your idols like Metallica that day.
Right.
And one of the first things out of James Hetfield's mouth is... And if you own the Ride the Lightning box set that came out a few years ago, the Donington show is in there because that was their first major UK show. He comes out, they come out of like, I think they're going into Creeping Death or going into Ride the Lightning. He's like, if you came to see I Make Up and hear the words Rock and Roll Baby in every fucking song, this ain't the fucking band. We came to bash your head for 55 fucking minutes. Are you with us? And I was with him. I was with him up until... after the Black album. When it got to Load and Reload, I was still a fan,
everybody,
but it didn't light me up.
Everybody hates Reload, but a lot of people hate Load and Reload.
Yeah. Not as much as they hate St. Anger, though. St. Anger is a piece of crap.
Yeah.
That was like, oh, we're hurrying up and making a record, and...
But wait a minute, isn't that the one that took them 3 years to make through the documentary?
That's the documentary one, yeah. Yeah.
So when you say hurry up, it wasn't really...
Well, I think that they obviously weren't... Once we saw the documentary, we realized why it wasn't great.
Right.
They couldn't even agree on what guitar tone should be happening.
Did you see the little updated monster thing they did?
No.
Okay, so that documentary...
Yeah, Some Kind of Monster.
They did a little 10 years later update. It's like 20 minutes long. It's pretty good.
So just recaps?
Well, it's basically like... Well, what's his name is like the... Who's the
Trujillo?
New... Yeah, Trujillo is basically like, holy fuck, I can't believe that happened to me.
Here's $1 million. You're in the band.
Right?
Yeah.
And Lars defends the goofy psychiatrist.
Yeah.
but it's pretty good.
I've seen James talk about the psychiatrist where he's like, man, he really was... That guy didn't know what he was getting himself into.
Right.
You know? But
but Lars is like, you know, he kind of saved the band. You know, Lars is so fucking... So anyway, so talking about meeting those guys.
The first time I met him... Actually, the first... So flash forward to being in America, being on 96 Rock at the time. Like, you know, the classic rock behemoth that was in this town.
Right.
That Clear Channel killed in 2006 and fired us all. And put on Project 961, like, you know, Bros Over Hoes, Slipknot, and all the...
Garbage.
Metal, as I call it.
Right.
Because a lot of those guys sing with an voice. So anyway, I love Slipknot, though. Don't get me wrong. I think they're amazing. I love going and seeing them every time they're in town. So it's okay. So Metallica come to the Dome to do the Summer Sanitarium tour, early 2000s. The day before, some Southeastern magazine, I didn't notice at the time, but I find out later through a friend of a friend, they take Metallica to Lake Lanier and say, hey, let's get on some jet skis and test these out and have some fun. James wipes out that afternoon, fucks his back up. So we're at the Dome. I'm actually, my band, I was in a band called Tangerine in Atlanta at the time, and we did a little show outside of the Dome on a stage, on a trailer. So we go into the show, not knowing anything's wrong with Metallica. It's Korn, it's Kid Rock, I can't remember who else was on the bill that day. But so it gets to the Metallica part, and they're like, hey, we're really sorry to say that James injured his back yesterday in an accident, and so we can't perform with James, but we are going to perform. And then the dude from Korn, Jonathan Davis, and Kid Rock and other dudes are going to sing the Metallica songs. So as a huge Metallica fan, you're like, well, number one, you're in the Dome. It sounds like crap for a show. And number two, these guys aren't cutting it.
Right.
I came to see Hetfield, you know.
Right.
So that was that, whatever, blah, blah, blah. So then they came back into the free show at Lakewood for anybody who had tickets at the Dome.
Nice.
And I got to say, Jason Newsted was in the band at this time. And it was the best Metallica show sound-wise I'd seen up until SunTrust Park the other day. So me and a guy called Tim Rhodes, who used to be on 96 Rock, we got to go back and interview Jason. And he was the nicest guy in the room, you know, no attitude, no ego.
Right.
Again, probably really happy to be there. He'd been through a lot of crap with that band because, you know, there's all these stories of them just hazing him like crazy when he first got the gig.
Right.
You know, because, and today is the anniversary of, today's the anniversary of Cliff Burton's death. Funny enough, we're talking about this. The original bass player who got killed.
I know
killed
who he is. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. When you have to replace, like,
the god.
The myth, the legend.
Yeah, the major rager, as James calls him. Yeah.
Right.
So that's what we met. I met Jason that day. Then they came back a couple years later at Turner Field with the Deftones. And me and Tim Andrews, who's now a part of the Von Hester Doctrine that I do on WSB Radio, we went down and interviewed Kirk Hammett in the depths of Turner Field. So when the band takes over, they turn like one of the dressing rooms into, like, Kirk had a spa set up.
Really?
Candles, massage table, the whole thing. He's in his flip-flops. He's got his robe on. He's super, dude, he's Kirk Hammett, you know, super relaxed surfer dude. So we talked to him, awesome. Then we go out into one of the big hallways, and there's another meet and greet with listeners, and we got to meet the whole band. And I was like, James Hetfield, blah, 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 blah. I'd never get
you,
like that.
I
was starstruck with James Hetfield.
And you're not typically like that?
No, not at all.
Around rock stars.
I was such a huge fan.
Right.
And I was just like, oh, the first time I saw you was 1985 at Donington. Right, blah, blah, blah. Right. And he's like, oh, sure, man. Yeah, you know.
Right.
So that's my mentality.
Can you do a James Hetfield impression?
Yeah.
So, isn't it more like, yeah?
It's all that, yeah.
All right.
Talking to that, when I sing Metallica at Metalsome, I definitely turn on the Hetfield singing voice.
Right. Well, you can't not.
Oh, I think mine's deeper than his these days. He's got this nasally thing going on these days.
Right. Well, I saw them. I don't even think it was the Dome. I think it was the old Omni. I think I saw them at it.
I saw them at the Omni on the Load or Reload tour, 1988, I think.
No, mine.
98.
Mine would have been late 80s, early 90s. So maybe.
Okay. So you were on the Black Album tour.
Maybe. I'd have to go check. I have a list. I actually wrote down all the concerts I went to. I'll have to check.
I saw him a couple times on that tour. I saw him at Donington when they were on the same bill as AC/DC in 91.
That sounds like a pretty great show.
That was awesome. Although I did wreck my car on the way home by falling asleep. But
by falling asleep or by falling asleep?
Falling asleep at the wheel, yeah. And we ended up on the Verge and everybody else was asleep. It was an old Alfa Romeo little coupe. And we'd camp out at Donington. And that weekend, for some reason, we decided to drive the 160 miles back home.
Jesus.
And so, anyway, he came through it, one of the struts went.
So, wait
a
minute, what year did you get to Atlanta? I'm sorry, ask you.
96.
Okay, so I think you might have been a little late for this. When I remember you mentioning AC/DC.
Yep.
They launched an album, and nobody would ever do this nowadays with the internet, but they did a thing where they did a release party, and they piped it into different movie theaters.
Sure.
And you paid $20
yeah.
And sat there and
watched them play?
Watched. They showed, well, there was a new album, so they're showing old concert footage. Oh, dude, what album came? When did Thunderstruck come out?
Oh, it was just, yeah, I don't know when that was. That was late 80s, wasn't it?
No. I think it was that. I think that was the most. I think it was that tour or that album.
Yeah.
Anyway, and we sat there. We, of course, got loaded in the parking lot beforehand and then sat in the movie theater and rocked out to this new album. Then they did like a Q&A afterwards. Anyway, it's just like old stuff.
Yeah, now it would all be online. You're right.
Of course.
I mean, rock bands do, like, from time to time, you'll get like someone will do a show somewhere, like Stones or something, and then it's in theaters. right. later, or they, yeah.
So did you move straight to, is Land of the First?
I had a girlfriend. I came here on vacation in 95.
Okay.
There was a friend of mine called Drew Young, who used to be in an old Athens/Atlanta band called Reuben Kincaid.
Named after the manager of the Partridge Family.
Yes. So I was still living in England, where I always lived until 1996. And in 94, I was in a band over in England called the Little Fat Band. And we were a blues rock cover band. And we were playing this little festival, Gold Hill Festival in Shaftesbury in Dorset, where my brother and I live. And Drew shows up with a friend of my brother's. And we get chatting about music. And he's from Atlanta. And he's like, I see him a couple times over the week. And he's like, if you ever want to come visit, you got a place to stay. So I took him up on it because at that point in 94, 95, didn't have computers yet.
Right.
Not everybody anyway. And so we just wrote letters, you know,
right.
pen pals kind of thing. And I came over and I met a lady who was living here from New York City, and she was in Georgia State getting her master's in psychology. And I ended up dating her long distance after I left. And then I came back early 96 to live with her, and I was married to her for 2.5 years.
And then what happened?
And then that didn't work out. But by that time, life was here, you know. So that's 98. And then 99 was when radio started for me, the end of 99. So, through a friend of a friend, I just drunkenly asked a lady, Laura Lee Lunt, who was the promotions director at 96 Rock at the time. I said, hey, you got any jobs going on? I'm thinking about getting in the radio. I think it's kind of cool here, all this rock music on the radio, because I wasn't used to that back home. It's all top 40. And she said, yeah, I had a guy quitting promotions. Come see me tomorrow. Walked in there, got the promotions gig, driving vans and stuff.
It's funny. That's how old Steve started.
And then 3 months later, they wanted to host for the local music show.
Right.
But I didn't have any experience being on the air at that point. So he said, Tim Dukes, the program director, was like, I like your voice. I'll put you on Saturday and Sunday mornings live, 6 to 10 a.m. That's how I started.
And the very first day, were you English Nick?
Yeah, because he came up with that name. He said, we're going to call you English Nick. No, the very first day I wasn't. It was just Nick for a while. And then as we got into it and he realized he wanted to get me in more day parts, he was like, I think we'll call you English Nick. That's your radio name. And that's what stuck.
Right.
You know, and so now... I still, to this day, you ain't from England, man. You faking that shit. All the time. All the time. Like, what? I guess if I spoke like that all the time, mate, like Adele, you know, no, from London, they get it. Or Scotland, you know, it's like, I'm from down in the West Country, my darling, where they all talk like that down in Bristol there.
Right.
Where I grew up is 40 miles to Bristol, 25 miles to Bath.
I just think...
I know certain words. I know it fluctuates.
Right.
But, come on.
I think it's because, I mean... if you could permit me to say so, it's just because it's so abrasive mm-hmm. and loud.
It is a loud voice.
And what's the other word I'm looking for? I don't know. And because you're talking about these very American things like yes. fucking Jim Ellis Dodge or whatever, it just sounds...
No, it's Natalie Ford.
Or whatever the fuck
Steve's,
it is.
Yeah. Whatever it has to be Natalie Ford. Roswell Road in Sandy Springs.
There
yeah.
you go.
that's my dealership right now.
Whatever it is, yeah. I just think the combination of the two is like...
You're right.
It just makes it sound... I don't know. And we're just simple
yeah.
Southern folk and we just can't
yeah,
get over.
Yeah, not always talking about fish and chips and bangers and mash and Man United.
Right.
You know?
You do... But the thing I do like about you, and like, listen, I mean, you'll take this however you take it. You seem to be the master of the dropping the song reference into the whatever advertisement or I don't know.
Maybe I guess I don't know.
I don't know. You just seem yeah. to be. You just you're the segue. You're very good at the segue.
Yeah.
And I don't know, dude. It's funny.
Well, it's working. You know, creative loafing. Just vote. I knew that the creative best stuff thing was creative loafing.
Right.
Best stuff was going on. And creative loafing isn't quite the behemoth it once was because papers aren't.
Right.
But it's still a good place to go to see what's going on.
Of course.
Because I think they're once a month right now. It's like
yeah,
a
they
once,
just switched. Yeah. Right.
So, but somebody sent me a photograph of the page like at midnight one night saying, hey, you got best local DJ celebrity or personality. I'm like, okay, I'll take it.
Right.
It's awesome. So thanks to Creative Loafing and their readers for that.
Right.
So whatever I'm doing, and the midday show I've been doing on the river has been getting great ratings. So,
right.
You know, all I do is talk about this day in rock history and be myself. I don't, you know.
Right, but you, I don't know, you...
I don't ever think of myself as a radio guy, like, hey, 25 after the hour, and blah, 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 blah. You know, I'm not one of those kind of barkers, I don't think, you know.
Right.
So, but you're right. I think, like you say, it's what I'm talking about, but then I'm 21 years here. You know, I'm coming up on soon. And
but
another...
you're never going to not sound like that.
No, never. No.
You could be here 100 years and you're not going to sound like a redneck.
I mean, I get it even at the live band karaoke gig, I hope, Meddlesome, right?
Right.
Four nights a week. Mondays and Thursdays, not so much, but when it's Friday and Saturday and it's slammed with a lot of very drunk millennials, very often I'll hear a girl at the side of my, he's not from England. And depending on how drunk I am, right. I might go after her, I might not.
Pick a fight.
I don't really pick
I thought
a fight.
You only hosted on Mondays.
No, it's Monday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday now.
Because I've been wanting to come down.
Yeah.
And
sing something.
Well, just and be a part of the fun, because, I mean, come on.
Yeah, the thing about Mondays and Thursdays, it's quieter now because we do weekends.
Right.
Because your 9-to-5ers, they don't want to come out until 1 o'clock in the morning on Monday night, right. Tuesday morning, Thursday night, Friday morning. But Friday and Saturday, you can't move in there because we haven't charged the cover in years. So it's like one in, one out.
No, Steve was saying, or maybe Nick was saying,
that Nick's up.
Like if you go on like the busy nights, like you can't even like if you pick a certain song that somebody else usually does, like you can't even.
Well, we don't repeat songs during the night. So if somebody's already chosen Black Dog by Zeppelin,
right.
Or Enter Sandman by Metallica, or When We Were Young, You Were Young by The Killers, you can't do it again,
right.
And we don't let guys sing girls' songs because we don't have that many girls' songs.
Right.
So you want to save them for the girls.
Right. It's a good rule.
There was a transgender moment a few months back.
Yeah.
Where let me get this, we've got to get it right. It was a girl who had become a guy.
Right.
Trans into a guy. And the guy wanted to sing the girl's song.
Right.
And our girl who signs people up was like, you can't. It's a girl's song.
Right.
He's like, no, but I'm now a. I still have the women's parts.
Right.
I'll take you into the bathroom and show you. But they got so ugly that we just said, get out of here.
Oh,
nothing against trans people. You want to be a man.
Right.
So now you can't sing girl songs. Simple as that.
All right. That's fair enough.
Yeah.
I'll come down on a slower night then.
Yeah, Monday and Thursday's the night to come for slower nights.
I'll check it out.
And beginning this Tuesday, it's going to happen once a month for the next 3 months till the end of the year. Acoustic Meddlesome.
So only...
Well, we're going to take some rock songs and acoustify them,
right.
But there will be some acoustic songs and different instruments, obviously.
So you just have a list?
Right now, we have a big old flat screen when you walk in the door. 150 songs on it.
Right.
Any given night.
And you play instruments as well?
I don't. Because I used to sing in bands.
Right.
There's two reasons I'm at Meddlesome. One is the lady who started Meddlesome, a lady by the name of Nicole Jurovics, who's actually married to Greg Lee, who plays bass in Yacht Rock. She was booking the Ten High back when it was all original bands in the 90s. And I had my local show on 96 Rock, so I would play bands and say, hey, go to the Ten High this Friday for, you know, Injected or whoever's playing.
Right.
Tender Idols. Great bands from back in the day. And one night she said to me, a friend of mine saw this live band karaoke thing in L.A. in New York. Would you be interested in hosting it for me here? There's no money in it.
Right.
I said, sure, sounds like a blast. So we started it every other Monday, and then it just started blowing up.
Right.
You know, now after a couple of years, we went to Monday and Saturday, and then Monday, Friday, Saturday, and then Monday, Thursday, Saturday. Wednesday nights, you get soul live band karaoke. That's a different host, different band doing Bruno Mars, Michael Jackson, Marvin Gaye, Tina Turner,
right.
TLC.
People who actually have to sing.
Yeah, it's a lot quieter gig.
Right.
But I mean, we get some great singers.
No, I'm sure you do, but a lot of us could fake, you know.
The Ramones.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But you can't fake Bruno Mars and... No, Diana Ross.
But I've been there on a Wednesday just standing back and watching, and there are people who do get by. I'll put it that way. Because, we never judged at Meddlesome. We might laugh. Oh, what's this guy doing?
Right.
You know, but we always help people when they're on stage, because if they don't know where they're going, because there's no bouncing ball like a karaoke machine.
Right.
Like, you kind of got to know. We'll say, hey, we'll let you know when it's time to start if you don't know.
Right.
If you get lost... Normally, me or the bass player will
start.
Yeah, we'll jump in.
How a verse starts.
So I basically I sing for 3.5 hours a night, and people are like, how do you keep your voice? I'm like, I don't know.
But you aren't playing an instrument.
I don't play an instrument. I'm on the side of the stage,
and you'll just help with the words if you need to.
I'll help sing if they get lost, or sing the backup vocals. Then once they're done, I'll say something. Maybe say something better performance. Maybe I'll be just like, hey, Jeremy, you're up singing Bon Jovi. Come on,
right.
So I keep it rolling, you know. And I check with I can sense if the band is ready to go or not sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Like if there's tuning that has to happen.
Right.
Maybe the drummer needs to go to the bathroom.
Right.
You know?
So you're on the radio how many days a week?
Sometimes seven.
And at night?
And four nights at Meddlesome. But you got to remember in radio these days, there's the art of voice tracking. So you can record some stuff if you want.
Right.
The thing about 97.1 The River is on the weekends, we not every weekend, but a lot of weekends we have to be live because, hey, caller 25, you just win tickets to the Laidback Festival coming in October.
Right.
You know, tickets. So you got to be there to give those away.
Right.
So yeah, it's flexible. But usually 6 days a week you'll hear me. So 10 to 3 middays.
You appear to be on all the time.
Yeah.
When I get in my car, unless it's on the
Well, you morning, might hear a commercial from Natalie Ford or Xfinity.
You know who I feel like is on the radio? And this is not a dig at all.
No.
Because I dig him. But I feel like Bob Seger, you're introducing or
out. We do play a lot of Bob Seger. But he is coming to town next week. So. Right.
Is it next week?
Yeah, October 7th.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit. Because a buddy of mine's from Detroit, and he's a huge Bob Seger fan. And yeah. Supposedly this is his last tour.
It always sells out. I think it will be his last tour. But you never know. They keep saying that.
But even before that, I just feel like... I don't know. It's just like, I'm like, there's English Nick. There's
Bob Seger.
There's Bob
We're
Seger.
Best buddies. Eric Von Hester, you know, who I used to work with at the Regular Guys, 96 Rock.
Right.
He got let go from the Regular Guys before the Regular Guys were done.
Right.
Like 3.5 years ago. He works in the same building. He works in Cox Media, but he's on WSB. And so I'm part of his show. Not only during the radio, I present a thing called Outrage Corner. And the reason we started Outrage Corner was, number one, he wanted something for me to do on the show. Number two, there's always outrage in the world now. People are outraged at everything. You know, whether, oh, I got this birthday cake from my kid, and it's a dinosaur, and the legs look like 666, the number of the beast. You know, stupid things like that. Or, you know, all this outrage in the last week about what's going on with the NFL and taking the knee. You know, people are just... So anyway, I do that with Von Hessler. But Von Hessler always jokes with me. He's like, well, I know I'm going to hear Supertramp or Heart today when I turn on the river. And then he'll even say, when he's got me in front of an audience, he's like, Nick, is it true you can't play two female artists back to back, can you? You can't play Joan Jett followed by Heart. I'm like, no, not, that's a no-no in rock and roll radio.
Why is that a no-no in rock and roll radio?
I don't know, because I guess there's plenty of male artists they want to slot in there.
Right.
So
what if it's a rock block of...
Well, a rock block's different.
What if it's a rock block
that's
of
three
Lita
in a row, see? And I build rock blocks. We build rock blocks that you can vote on 9, noon, and 5 every day.
Is anybody playing Lita Ford anymore? Does she have three hits?
The one big Lita Ford song we play is her duet with Ozzy, Close My Eyes Forever.
Right.
We don't play a lot of Lita Ford outside of that.
Right.
But I've seen pictures of her recently. She looks great.
Really?
Yeah, she's got to be pushing 60. She might be in her 60s.
She's got to be.
She's looking good, man.
Right.
Yeah. I know when she does shows, she doesn't play many songs, but I saw some footage of her doing something with a younger chick from another metal band, maybe the chick from Hailstorm or something. They're doing one of Lita's songs. Oh, they're doing Close My Eyes Forever.
Right.
And she's killing it. She's killing it.
What was her other big hit?
Went to a party last Saturday night.
Didn't get laid. I got in a fight. Uh-huh. Oh. It ain't no big
We do that
thing.
At Metalsome. What's the name of that song? Oh, I don't know. Anyway, Meddlesome, you know, 10 High under the Dark Horse Tavern.
Right.
That's where we do that. And, yeah, that's my life. I co-own Dr. Bombay's, the tea shop.
Okay,
in Tyler
okay.
Park.
So, yeah, so this is the piece of information that I found out that I was shocked
yeah,
by.
Yeah, a lot of people are.
I've taken my kids there.
Yeah.
I used to live in Kirkwood, mm-hmm. So we visited that place a couple times. How did that come about?
Me and my girlfriend she's my business partner now, but she used to be my girlfriend.
The one you moved over here for?
No. This is after that.
Do you have a girlfriend now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
You had to think for a moment.
Yeah.
Only because this is going to be broadcast or?
Well, see, in your brain, you're always thinking that.
Right. This might be broadcast in a month. You might not be seeing her anymore.
I have a girlfriend now. This is the thing about radio, talk radio especially. It's like, what do you say for entertainment purposes? What do you say?
Sure.
To, yeah.
Sure. Who's like English Nick, the character, right?
Quote unquote. There's Nick Parsons.
Right.
My real name.
Well, I didn't know if you actually were going to say that. So that is your God-given name.
Yeah, Nicholas Parsons, which as a kid growing up in England was hard because there was a TV host called Nicholas Parsons.
Right.
Very famous guy. He hosted a show called Sail of the Century. And so there's all these catchphrases he had. So when I was a kid in school, the other kids were like, hey, what's on offer tonight, John Benson? Because he would say that to his sidekick in the...
Right.
You know. So I always said to my parents, why'd you call me Nick? This guy was already huge.
Right.
You know. Got ridiculed a bit for that. Anyway, so yeah.
What did they say?
They just laughed.
Your parents?
Yeah, they didn't think it was a big deal.
Okay. I know the Graham Parsons Project.
Alan Parsons.
Yeah. That's right.
There is Graham Parsons too, yeah.
Isn't that his name? It's part of the Alan Parsons?
I have no idea. I'm not, you know, I've never been a fan of that, so I don't know.
Okay. Anyhow, where were we?
Yeah, I do have a girlfriend.
You do have a girlfriend.
And the girlfriend who I started Dr. Bombay's with, who I'm not with now, is my business partner. Because we broke up, but we're like, we don't want to kill this. So it's a tea shop, coffee shop in Candler Park. Our big money maker is our high tea service. you know, with the scones and the clotted cream and the pots of tea. So on the weekends, you go in there, it's bridal shower, baby shower, birthday party, craziness.
Right. I went, I think, like just in the middle of the week, and it was fine.
Yeah. It's easier then.
Right.
It's kind of like meddlesome. Weekends are slammed. Because people are out on the weekend. You know that, living. Do you live near here or do you work here?
I'm in
here?
The West End now.
Oh, okay.
This is a co-working space.
This is a great space.
Oh, it's awesome. Right on the Beltline, right on the East Side Beltline.
Yeah, yeah.
Very cool.
I've been to the Lady Bird. I like that place.
You know what? I'll be honest with you. If you can eat, go to the Market instead.
Oh, I've been to the Market.
Way better.
Yeah, recently discovered the Market. They got a new brunch place opening this weekend.
Called?
I just got it sent to me today.
It's okay. I find Lady Bird to be slightly... too expensive.
You know what I liked about Lady Bird? They had Tropicale on tap, and I'd never had Tropicale.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a IPA from Creature Comforts in Athens.
Okay.
It's a really great Tropicale. I mean, really great IPA.
Right.
They put the fruit in it, so you don't... You know what? I like sweet water. I love sweet water, but their regular 420 to me has too much of an aftertaste, whereas the Tropicale doesn't have that. So, yeah. I'm a Guinness drinker, though, most of the time.
When I drank, a black and tan was sort of my go-to.
What's the drink where you put Guinness and 420 together?
I have no idea.
Oh, man. That's pretty good. Oh, where's this email? This is because I like the Krog Market, so I want to give them some love here. It's opening this weekend.
It's all right.
I guess it's a place that's already open, but they're adding lunch and brunch service. Bar Mercado.
Yeah.
Bar Mercado?
I think I've seen the sign.
But. Yeah. So bottomless Bloody Marys on a weekend.
So you said you started it at 96 Rock in 96. Yep. So I grew up here in the 80s. So that was it. Like 96 Rock was like the rock station.
Yeah.
There was sort of the classic rock station, which was Z93. Right. But 96 Rock, like Katie Kylie and all that, who I also want to talk to. Perhaps you can introduce me.
I can absolutely do that.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been listening to her since I was 12 years old. She might not be happy to hear that, but...
No. People love Katie.
Love Katie.
And she's an institution in this town.
Absolutely.
Anytime you're out with Katie, everybody knows who she is.
Right.
Everybody wants a picture.
I wouldn't have known what she looks like if I didn't Google her recently, just like I wouldn't know what you fucking look like.
Right.
But...
yeah, people in radio. No, that's changing now because, like, for instance...
You've all got Facebook pages,
One of the things I do, I'm always talking about this day in rock history, like anniversaries and birthdays.
Right.
I do a video style of that. I do I'm a VJ on 971theriver.com where you see me talking about, like today it was, I don't know what it was today. It wasn't Cliff Burton's passing, but it was because we don't play Metallica. But so actually I do that and all the other Cox classic rock stations around the country use that video.
Oh, really?
Like, I'm their VJ, yeah.
That's great.
So social media and it's
such a way. Did you get any extra scratch for that?
No, you're just in the building, so they're paying you to be in the building. So that's how it works.
Right.
Yeah. What we need to do is get some people to advertise on the bottom of the screen.
Right.
For a bit of cash,
or a little
maybe.
Pre or post roll, as we say.
Yeah.
I mean, are you cool? Just like, is that what you want to kind of just stay doing? Or would you want to, like, I don't know, have your own little network or podcast?
You know, I do the podcasting. I've done it for a long time with Eric Von Hester because part of his deal.
Right.
He's not just on WSB. We do a podcast, which you can hear on the WSB app. And that's just us shooting, like we're doing for 53 minutes. There might be some topics of the day to get slid in. But I've always, one thing I did at the River that they took off the air was a Sunday night show called the Deep River Music Vault. And the way that worked was you or any listener could send me a 2-hour playlist, whatever you wanted. My PD, my program director would look over it and he might tweak it here and there. But it was just what it sounds like, a deep cut music show. So we would play the Zeppelin songs you never hear on the radio.
Right.
You could even get away with playing some 90s alternative, whatever. So it was awesome. We had 2 years worth of listeners ready to go. I confirmed their list, but powers that be wanted to go back to this regular programming on Sunday. So, to be honest, I never really got that move. But I loved that show so much that I'd loved. And the problem with podcasting is it's a music licensing, right?
Right.
Like, even as a radio station, we're not allowed to have a podcast where we play songs in their entirety, you know?
Right.
Facebook Live will take us off the air on the Von Hester show when we're doing the podcast. If we, let's say we're talking about Summit and I want to play some music behind what Eric's talking about, we have to bring it up for 8 seconds, bring it down, and then bring the song back in. They'll only allow you to do 8 seconds of licensed music.
Yeah, I tweeted.
It's crazy.
I tweeted once, like, I put the NFL Network on, like, Periscope.
Yeah.
And, like, it was, like, shut down so fast. I was like, holy cow.
Right.
Like who, how are they?
What, even? Did you put a highlight from a game or something?
No. I was showing, so Periscope is that live.
I got fed up with it.
Well, now Facebook Live took over.
Yeah.
But, because for Periscope, you had to have Twitter. Some people still weren't on Twitter. Facebook, everyone has Facebook. Anyway, I showed the Red Zone
Oh, yeah.
And I was
all the different games.
Right. And I was just, and I think I was up for not even 30 minutes. And it was like, oh, yeah. This has been broadcast. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow. Like, they are no shit.
Yeah.
They are not fucking around with that.
Some people say that the NFL are going to need all the love they can get in a minute here. That's what that's part of. You see all these videos, people like people burning their jerseys this week, burning their team memorabilia and stuff.
They also once burned rock and roll albums. I mean, come on.
And disco records.
Well, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah.
I think
it's such a fad. I think it's just
that's what I'm saying,
dude. You know, okay. When Martin Luther King marched, he had an end game. You know, he had goals of what he wanted to do. Can any of these players tell me when will America be good enough that they can stand up again?
It's a great question.
I mean, what do you want? What do you want?
But I think when it started,
you've got 6 days and 21 hours of the week to go into your community and do good.
Right.
And do whatever you want. We have a charity at Dr. Bombay's that puts girls through impoverished orphan girls in India get to go to school and graduate that would never go near a school, you know. And we started this from a tea shop in Candler Park by selling used books, you know. So they're crybabies, I think.
But it started,
and then because Trump said their sons of bitches, now everybody
That's the thing.
F Trump.
But that's the thing. When it started, it was I'm going to take a stand for police brutality, et cetera.
Sure, I get that, yeah.
But when the president, which, like, that word doesn't even mean shit anymore, but it used to, says, fire all the son of bitches.
Yeah.
Then they're like, aw, hell no.
Screw you.
There was a collective, aw, hell no.
That's what I said the other day on the Von Hester show. I said, I think this is more of a response to what Trump did than worrying about anybody's rights, you know?
Yeah, but the NFL is going to bounce back. I don't doubt that the numbers are down, but that's kind of like saying
they were down last year anyway. They were down.
But I'm saying, but it's kind of like saying, I'm trying to think of a good analogy. It's still the numbers are still astronomical.
Of course they are.
Like, so just because a Super Bowl ad is less, it's not 50 cents. They're not giving it away.
No.
The NFL is going to be fine. The NFL is going to be fucking fine.
They're big boys. Yeah.
They just, I mean, Arthur Blank just invested $1 billion in that thing.
Arthur Blank's awesome.
And they're going to sell it out.
Yeah. Sells out those soccer games. The Atlanta United, their first Saturday game.
Oh, it was like a record.
70,000.
It was like a whole record.
MLS record, yeah.
Right. But here's the thing. This is what I will talk to somebody about that will come on here and talk about soccer. Do you remember the New York Cosmos?
I remember the name.
Okay.
Yeah.
They had Pele. They fucking sold out.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like that, it was the biggest thing to hit the world. In the late 70s, to educate our young listeners, in the late 70s, we got all the big stars of the world. We got Pele, Franz Beckenbauer, all these international superstars. Mm-hmm. So the MLS, Major League Soccer, became a fucking huge thing.
Yeah.
And then 3 years later, when nobody gave a shit anymore, it fizzled away into nothing.
Yeah. I think in Atlanta, like you talked about being a transient city, there's a lot of kids who've moved here from places where soccer was a big deal. And I think the town's just ready for it. I think that's what's going on. And they're winning. They're winning. Come on. Atlanta likes teams that win. They don't like their teams when they lose.
Oh, Braves, halfway through the season. Oh, Braves, screw. Where'd they get that new stadium? Whatever, blah, blah, blah.
Like, just you go up north and it's like win, lose, or draw. They're like got their shirts off in -5 degree weather.
Of course.
And,
of course.
Yeah, yeah.
I got to say, I went to a game.
SunTrust
Park. Yeah. And it did feel very sanitary to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, so I'm driving with my son, right? And I'm like, oh, it's his first baseball game. Like, I want to, like, and like, so the first thing.
How old is he?
So he's 8.
Oh, yeah, awesome.
So you drive into this huge, like in the old days, like Atlanta Fulton County, like I said, it's like an old such commercial, yeah. But like you'd park in somebody's yard for $10.
Yes.
And this is like this.
And you did that at Turner Field, too.
Right. And this is like some giant mall parking lot. And then you essentially walk through a mall.
Yeah, the Battery is like a mall, you're right. Yeah.
And it's
I do like the bars and stuff being out there.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It's just it wasn't
most people's criticism of SunTrust Park is you don't have that number one, of course you're not gonna get the old ballpark feel, but they don't feel like it's got a lot of character.
Right.
You know, like Fenway or like you know. So some people say, oh, they went cheap on it, you know. I don't know about that. I've only been there for one thing, and that was a Metallica show,
right?
In July, and I thought the whole Battery thing was awesome because we could come out after the show and grab a beer,
right?
And but you know, I didn't grow up with baseball, so it's not the same. I didn't, like I said earlier, I never went to a professional soccer game living in England because I wasn't that into it,
right?
But the game I went to last Wednesday was so much fun. It didn't hurt that we were in the owner's suite. That was pretty cool.
You hung out with the man?
No, he wasn't there. But
have you met the man?
Arthur?
Yeah.
No. I'd like to, though.
Right? You should. You're a relatively big Atlanta name. You could probably make that happen.
He's, you know, he's a busy guy, and he just built a stadium. He's got teams, got a couple of teams he's got to watch.
Right?
Does he travel every game with the Falcons? I feel like he's always on the sideline.
In the playoffs, he absolutely is, and I'm pretty sure he's at every home game. I mean, every away game. I mean, when you think about it, there's only 16 games, and the rest of the year he's, you know.
You know what else he did this past year? I have a buddy called Sanjay who runs Soccer in the Streets, which is the local Atlanta, it's a charity, and what they do is they take urban inner-city kids and they get them playing soccer,
right.
Keep them in school, that kind of stuff. It's really amazing. So Arthur Blank built them a little six-a-side football pitch, soccer pitch, on top of at the MARTA station downtown.
That's super cool.
You can see Mercedes-Benz Stadium from it. They've been winning all these awards. Soccer in the Streets is an amazing thing.
It's interesting. These guys, we've got these guys here, Sons of Pitches. We'll give them a plug.
Yeah.
They're like that.
So same thing.
Right. Sons of Pitches. Get it?
That's awesome.
Right. Speaking of Sons of Pitches. So, like, what's relaxation time for you with all these various gigs?
Oh, for me, it's like at home listening to some albums, watching my favorite shows, chilling out with the dogs.
Yeah.
You know, I have a cabin in Blue Ridge, but it's on Airbnb, so I don't always get to go up there, but a rental cabin up there on the mountain.
Right.
So,
What programs are you into these days?
Well, here's the thing. In 1990, I became the biggest David Lynch fan ever because I just fell in love with Twin Peaks.
Right.
And, you know, nobody knew what this reboot was going to be like.
Oh, I haven't seen the reboot.
It's the most original television. I mean, think of it as an 18-hour David Lynch movie, okay? Some of the characters from the original show come back.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of... there's different dimensions in the story of Twin Peaks. White Lodge, Black Lodge, what happens when you die, all this stuff. And, you know, the original show was who killed Laura Palmer, right? High school queen. Prom queen, right?
Right.
So that all got solved during season two back in the 90s. But then other stuff happened. And, you know, the central character is Kyle MacLachlan, Agent Dale Cooper, FBI agent.
He's back.
He's back, but he's back in different forms because at the end of season two, he had come back from a place called the Black Lodge, but it wasn't the good one. It was the bad one.
Right.
He had the same evil in him as the guy who killed Laura Palmer.
Right. But so where does the movie fit in then?
Firewalk with Me?
Yes.
That's a prequel to the original series. That was made when season one ended on CBS in this country. I was on BBC in the UK. When it ended, they were up for season two. David Lynch went off to make Firewalk with Me, which was a prequel to season one.
Right.
The last 5 days of Laura Palmer's life.
Now I'm remembering.
And season two was directed predominantly by Mark Frost, who's David Lynch's co-creator. Mark Frost did things like Lost and all this stuff. He's more of a conventional TV guy.
Right. So wait a minute. It was her dad? Did we figure out it was her dad?
Her dad, yeah. They figured out.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, it's an incestual thing, and he ends up murdering her in a rail car.
Right, but we learned that in the movie, not in the second season.
No, you do learn it in the second season.
I thought you learned it in the movie.
Well, you do learn it in the movie, but you also learn, and by then you've already seen the second season, I think. Halfway through, here's what happened. David Lynch didn't want to reveal it in the second season. He
way ahead of his time, by the way, because now that's the thing. In all these Netflix shows, you get to the season, you're like, fuck, they still didn't reveal who it was. Yeah. But nobody did that back then.
David Lynch didn't want to reveal it, and CBS is like, we're losing viewers. Well, part of the reason they were losing viewers is because the storyline got away from who killed Laura Palmer. But there's one episode.
Because there's all these fascinating characters to learn about.
And there were some soap opera-y storylines. But there's one episode in season two, I can't remember the number of the episode, where the cops work out who it is. And there's another guy who's a guy called Benjamin Horn who owns the hotel and he's got a brothel and stuff. They're bringing him in. And Laura Palmer, this is all spoiler alert, but if you love Twin Peaks, you've seen it all. So
if you haven't, fast forward. Yeah.
So they bring him in and his lawyer is Laura Palmer's dad, Leland Palmer.
Right.
Played by an amazing actor called Ray Wise. So he thinks he's coming in to represent his client. As they walk through the doors of the sheriff's department, they grab Leland Palmer and push him into a cell. And then he has this fucking meltdown moment from just David Lynch awesomeness.
Right.
You know, and then that's where it goes. And then he ends up dying in the cell. He ends up, I think he kills
himself. This is
himself.
All season two?
Season two,
I'm not remembering any of this.
Yeah.
I went back whenever DVDs were still happening, my wife and I had remembered how awesome Twin Peaks was. We're like, let's get that again.
Yeah.
But that's pre-Netflix. This is like the early 2000s, I think.
Yeah, I had that DVD too.
So that's when we caught up with everything. And I'd seen it was coming back, but I hadn't seen it. How were you on his movies, though? Where do you fall?
So Twin Peaks was the first thing. Obviously, Eraserhead and Blue Velvet had already been done.
Right.
So I went back and watched those. Blue Velvet is top 5 for me.
Right.
Wild at Heart might be my favorite David Lynch movie of all time.
Right.
I think because I was of an age where I was in the metal, there was some metal in the soundtrack. Nicolas Cage and Laura Dern were awesome. It's one of Nicolas Cage's best roles.
Absolutely.
Harry Dean Stanton, God rest his soul, he just passed away at 91. He was in the reboot a lot, and he was awesome. I guess he was like, they shot it 2 years ago, so he was like 89, I guess.
Right.
And so Wild at Heart, and then Fire Walk With Me I love, because it answers a lot of things about Twin Peaks you never knew. And because it was a movie, they got away with so much more. And that's why with Showtime doing the reboot, he could get away with a lot more of that on TV.
Right.
You know, you haven't got to worry about the kids, you know, like the FCC or whatever. So Lynch can do no wrong in my eyes. Dune, he didn't get final cut on, so that's a bit weird.
Right.
And then I love Lost Highway and Mulholland Drive, but Inland Empire was just so weird for me. I just didn't like that movie. Because he tells the story from a lot of dream, it's a dream state, a lot of it.
Well, Mulholland Drive, I think, is the best one.
Yeah.
And I think
I have friends who think the same.
You can watch it so many times and pick up so many different things. But I think Inland Empire, wait a minute, is that the one, I was going to say, I know Lauren Dern's in that one, but is that the one that's like the movie about the movie?
Yeah, yeah.
So that one just takes too many far right turns, yeah. And like you end up literally wanting just to fast forward and go, what fucking happened?
Yeah, I saw it in the movies, never saw it again, I don't think.
I actually rented it because I was so disappointed. I was like 2 years later, I was like, let me rent it, let me see, yeah. And it still was just as bad.
Yeah. And he hadn't made a movie since that one. This was the first thing he's done since then. He's done some art projects and some music projects.
Right.
And no, the reboot is awesome, man. And one, there's a lot of great music that came out of that show, because at the end of most every episode, no matter what's going on, the scene fades out and they go to the double R, they go to the club in Twin Peaks, you know, where Julie Cruise did her thing.
Right.
And there's always some indie band you've never heard of on stage, apart from a couple of episodes where episode 8 of the reboot, there's like 10 minutes of regular Twin Peaks dialogue. And then they go to the club, and this old African-American announcer, and he comes out, he's like, ladies and gentlemen, the Nine Inch Nails. And Nine Inch Nails are on stage doing this raging new song. And then it cuts to like the beginning of the world or something. There's a nuclear explosion, and there's all this stuff. And then it goes back to the 50s.
Oh, don't spoil it anymore. Anyway, I want to see it. So, I want to see it.
You need to be high when you watch episode 8. Anyway, and then there's one of the last episodes.
Don't spoil it.
No, this is music.
Okay.
Okay, well, it's just a great Eddie Vedder shows up on the stage.
Oh, you just fucking blew it for me.
And he introduced him under his real name.
The Eddie Vedder?
Yeah, what's his real name? It's like Lewis, I don't know, whatever his name is. And I literally cried for the last 10 minutes of that episode because his song was so powerful. Just him with an acoustic guitar.
I've got to see it.
It's awesome, man. The Blu-ray's out December, I think, so.
Does anybody own a Blu-ray machine?
I don't know. I just DVD, Blu-ray, whatever. I don't know. It's still on Showtime. You can watch it on demand.
Right.
So that, you know what show I loved last year? Big Little Lies.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. That was awesome.
It took a couple,
but man, talk about four women just acting their butts off.
I guess.
Laura Dern and you, who didn't you like?
No,
Nicole Nicole Kidman?
No,
or
no.
Was it Reese Witherspoon?
Well, it's funny. Nicole Kidman came up the other day because I was talking about how bad women look with plastic surgery, but for Nicole Kidman, that was that character.
Yeah.
Like these rich women, you know that that's what they would do.
Do you think Nicole's had plastic surgery at this point?
Of course she has. Okay, those lips, man, that's all I can tell. That's all I can tell. So first of all, again, we're going to do some spoiler alerts. You haven't seen Big Little Lies, fast forward. First of all, I figured it out probably by second episode.
I didn't see. I had no idea.
I'm like, they're not showing that guy. It's that guy.
Okay? I had no idea. I was just in complete shock when it happened.
I wasn't at all. What, maybe third episode. I mean, I was 98% sure. My wife was like, right? Just because it was so... It's just when they kept being at things that he wasn't at, I was like, honey, that's why he's not there. Yeah. He kept me out of town. But then I thought the ending was a little too neatly wrapped up, right? Like they're playing on the beach and everybody's happy. It's like, come on, dude.
Yeah.
Like this guy's like lost fucking both his parents. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like
what
the fuck?
Well, that's Hollywood. That's like, yeah.
Yeah, but like, but a show that dark didn't have to have that happy of an ending.
That's something about David Lynch that's awesome, man. He does all this fantastical stuff, this dream state stuff, this multi-dimensional stuff. But there's scenes in the reboot where something drastic will happen.
Right.
You know, somebody, like let's say a kid gets killed, right?
Right.
Run over. The onlookers have the reaction that any of us would have in real life. David Lynch is great at having human moments.
Right.
You know, there's actors in the reboot who shot the show and then passed away afterwards in real life. And the lady, remember the log lady?
The log lady, of course.
Margaret, she's in this.
She died?
Well, she's dead now, but I think she died while they were making it. So there's scenes where you know she's sick because she's sitting there. She's obviously had some kind of cancer treatment because her hair is just starting to grow back. She's like a little old lady skinhead, you know? And she's got the
breathing
oxygen tubes. And she'll have these conference calls. She'll call Hawk, Deputy Hawk, at the sheriff's station to tell him what my log says there's fire where you're going to be. And there's a scene where she dials him up. You're like, oh, what's Margaret got to say now? She's like, Hawk, I'm dying. Hawk, I'm dying. She would repeat herself a lot. And so then it cuts back to the sheriff's office and Hawk is digesting this. Then it cuts back to an outside shot of her cabin and the light goes out in the window. She's got a cabin in the middle of it. Then they cut back and Hawk walks into the conference room at the sheriff's station, tells the sheriff and some other people, Andy and Lucy, Margaret passed away. And I think there's probably 5 minutes of them just, not 5 minutes, but you know how Lynch is. He likes long scenes of nothing.
Right.
But they're sitting there mourning Margaret. Well, in real life, she's best friends with David Lynch. She was married to Jack Nance, who played Pete.
Okay.
Who was killed in a bar fight in real life a few years ago. So David Lynch not only mourned his real life friend, the actress who plays Margaret, he mourned the log lady in the same. It was unbelievable. And that's what's missing in something like Big Little Lies, where it's like, oh, all happy and good. Oh, yeah, the king is dead, you know. Like,
right.
Yeah. It's interesting that Lynch has the genius to do that, man. Not many people do that.
Well, he's a once in a generation person.
He's a once in a lifetime. I mean, there's other great directors. Have you seen Mother?
No.
That new movie with Jennifer Lawrence and Javier Bardem. It's the same director who did Black Swan.
Okay, I like Black
Aronofsky.
Swan. Aronofsky. Right. Aronofsky?
Aronofsky, that's
the
right.
The guy who made Pie and...
I believe so. He gets... dude.
All right, stop giving away movies. What else?
Difficult
what else?
Movie to watch.
What else?
Mother.
What
very
else
difficult.
Are you watching?
I didn't have cable for a long time. I've got it again now.
Right.
And... So I always miss out on when The Walking Dead is on.
Right.
But I just caught up with, I just binge watched season 7 this week.
Okay, I have not seen Walking Dead.
Oh.
Everybody says I should watch it. It's filmed here, blah, blah, blah.
You know, I love The Walking Dead. It's a lot of the same premise. Oh, we're going out. We're going to kill some zombies. We're going to scavenge for guns and food, blah, blah, blah. We're going to meet bad guys who want to take us out. This season, because of this guy Negan, this new bad guy, who you saw at the end of season 6, he's the guy with the baseball bat with the barbed wire on
right.
him. Lucille, he calls it. I can't remember the name of the actor, but he's awesome. He makes this season, even though he's the meanest motherfucker on the planet.
Right.
But I do like The Walking Dead. I think there's a lot of scenes where you're like, okay, this could have been done in 3 seconds, what these guys are saying to each other.
Right.
You know, a lot of filler. But I do like the premise of it.
Right.
And I'm not a comic book guy, so I never read the comic books that inspired it.
I couldn't even have told you that a comic book inspired it.
You know who lives in this part of town when he's shooting Walking Dead?
Who?
Lenny James.
Who's he?
He's the British. He's a black actor who was in Snatch.
Okay.
And he plays Morgan in The Walking Dead.
Okay.
He's an awesome actor, man. He's a Tottenham Hotspur fan, so sometimes we'll be up having drinks watching the games at the brew house.
I'm assuming not the fat black one from Snatch.
No, he's the one who's got his brain. He's the one who's like telling the fat black one what to do. Yeah. Lenny James is an awesome guy, man. He's an awesome actor.
Right.
Yeah, so he lives in Inman Park, I think.
That movie holds up.
Oh, dude.
Snatch.
Lock, Stock, and Two Smoking Barrels, and that's
genius.
Movie.
Genius.
Guy Ritchie, I mean, worst mistake he ever made was marrying Madonna. I guess he got some money out of it. That mansion, that big old home she has is not far from where I grew up in the county of Wiltshire in southern England.
Right.
So, like, people would see Madonna at the local Indian restaurant.
Oh, well, remember she's into Kabbalah? My buddy Jamie was, like, one of her, like, teachers or whatever. So, he knew. I think he went to that wedding.
Oh, well. I'd always think that people like her get a bad rap because I'm like, it's Madonna. She's so huge. Whatever she does, she's going to get criticized. You know, I think there's a lot of good those kind of people do that we don't hear about, probably. You know, so she just needs to quit trying to be young.
Well,
if you're going to tour, you don't have to wear the leotard anymore. Just, you know, what's up? Why can't people grow old gracefully? Where did that go?
Like, well, that's my issue with all the plastic surgery.
Meg Ryan, what the fuck?
All of them, though.
But Meg Ryan looks like a monster. I mean, they killed her
face.
Nobody
gets plastic surgery and doesn't think that person got plastic surgery, though. That's what I'm saying. Everybody looks, nobody...
Well, they get it, and then they want more, and they want more, and then before you know it, there's 55 procedures.
I mean, I know it's also easier for us to say we're dudes, we age better slightly.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
Do you watch House of Cards?
I love House of Cards. Yeah, I've watched all that. Yeah.
Yeah, great show. Yeah. Trying to think what else I've
watched. The OA, have you seen that?
No, somebody was just talking
it's
about
a good
movie. That.
It's a good show. Obviously, Stranger Things is awesome.
The best.
Can't do any wrong with that. There's another thing I saw that I loved. Oh, come to me. But Stranger Things, I really... Ozarks.
Oh, that was Ozark. Right? They made that, awesome. They made that here?
Yeah, Lake Alatoona, right?
Right.
Lake, yeah, yeah, I like Lake Bateman when he's dark.
Right? Everybody did. Again, dark. That one took a couple.
Yeah.
I thought this is going to be another, like, oh, it's kind of a, you know, Breaking Bad sort of ripoff.
Kept me. I was in. Like, from one of those, like, 2 o'clock in the morning, I got to watch another episode, that kind of thing.
But see, I'm married with three kids.
Solo, so I
can't do that anymore.
I live by myself, so I don't have to watch whoever I want, basically. Walk around naked and watch Ozark.
Will you get married again, do you think?
Yeah, if it's right, yeah.
Yeah, kids, yeah. No kids.
No kids. Always adopt dogs. I'm a big, I like people who adopt dogs. I'm not a big, my whole thing is adopt, don't shop. Like, I've got a couple of dogs. One came from DeKalb Animal Shelter. This dog's like 16. When they were a kill shelter back in the day. And then Angels Among Us is a great local dog adoption place. I've got my newer dog is from them. And then I also do work with the Atlanta Boxer Rescue. Like, we did a casino night at Maggiano's in Dunwoody this past Saturday night.
Yeah.
So, it's, you know, you gamble and you get fake boxer bucks.
Right.
And you exchange them for raffle tickets. But it was a fun night, you know? So, I really, my hat is off to the people that do. I actually prefer dogs to humans most of the time.
Really?
Yeah, the humans can annoy them. Piss out of me
you sometimes. You can say whatever you'd like here.
Yeah.
This is an uncensored
podcast. Yeah, you know.
Podcast.
So, when you go into a radio studio and you crack the mic, somehow you're conditioned not to cuss. It just doesn't happen.
Right.
I don't know why that is, but, you know, I do cuss a lot in real life. So, yeah, fuck yeah for podcasts. They're awesome.
Right? There we go. Wasn't it groovy? English, Nick. And we still have another hour to go. So, enjoy this. Tell a friend. Hey, do me a favor, tell me, drop me a note. Do you like this podcast? Drop me a fucking note. MattBDavis@iCloud.com, MattBDavis on Facebook and every other platform. Here's how I found the show. Here's what I like about the show. That's all we're asking. Not so much. Just fucking do it. Love you, miss you, mean it. I gotta run.